It is a joy to be here today. Amen. Well, I'm continuing on, and we're sharing together as we go through these declarations that were delivered, what, a year ago, or a year and a half ago, 2 years ago? And today we're going to be dealing with the declaration that you will lay hands on the sick and bind up the brokenhearted. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. And I will try to give you time as I go through the scriptures, and we'll visit the scriptures quite a bit as I'm preaching it. You know what? The ladies do so good, and they put little baskets together for the pastors, you know, as we're getting ready, and they put things in there like cheeseburgers and pie and ice cream. And you don't get that in yours, Calvin? That's what I was looking for. I don't know. I was going to get a thing of water. I'm a little dry up here, but... Hey, that's all right. We can share. We share. Praise God. Matthew chapter 10, and let's look at verses 7 through 10 there. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for your journey. No extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Lord, as we come to your word today, we ask that you would excite our hearts to receive a message, a timely message, a special message, just for us today. That you would equip us for the good work that you've called us to. That you would expand us, Lord. Expand our understanding and help us to be more of what you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's a text, and I just want to read it for you in Ezekiel chapter 34, part of a prophecy, God speaking through the prophet. This is what the sovereign Lord says: woe to the shepherd of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not the shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourself with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. And that was a word that was given through the prophet to the leaders of Israel because they were not doing what they were supposed to do. And part of what they were charged to do was to take care of the flock, to strengthen the weak, to bring a message of healing, strengthening, wholeness, bind up the brokenhearted. And I want to look at that this morning. And as I was going through Matthew chapter 10, what struck me at the very start, as I was reading it, there's a proclamation there from Jesus in verse 7, where he says, as you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. And I think that precedes the part about that you'll lay hands on the sick and you'll bind up the brokenhearted. And I think what we need to do is we need to understand that part as we go out and we do lay hands on the sick and as we bind up the brokenhearted. The kingdom of heaven is near. Because that was the charge to the 12 as he began sending them out. Now, the kingdom of heaven is of great importance to understand. It was not that the kingdom of heaven was real. It wasn't that someday you would get to see the kingdom of heaven, or someday when you were taken home to the Lord or the rapture took place and you would get to experience the kingdom. Jesus was saying, go preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. And the idea is, how near? It was right there in front of them. He looked them eye to eye. That was the kingdom of heaven. Jesus came to confront the world. We're going to look at that just a little bit. The kingdom of heaven, the declaration of God's power on earth. Jesus was the incarnate God in the flesh coming to earth with power and authority. We celebrate this season of the year about Jesus being born in the manger and coming forth and the reason that he came. He came with power and authority. Amen. Whose power and authority? For God's, who's sitting on, he's in heaven, he's the creator. And Jesus came in that kind of authority, that power that is represented as spiritual, and it takes on the spiritual forces of darkness The forces of Satan, the evil one. Let me tell you, when Jesus came, there was a crisis on earth between the power of God coming, the power of righteousness, the power of truth, and that evil power, the power of darkness that was reigning on the earth, and we still see some of that today, and it's a battle, and we are in a spiritual battle. The power that came wasn't just a power to do mighty things or miracles. It was a power to confront the forces of evil. And that's what it meant that the kingdom of heaven is near. It is evidenced in our lives every day. Darkness, unrighteousness, deception, untruthfulness, and ultimate separation from God was confronted with the holy, righteous, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God as he entered in and the fight was on. And we are in a fight. We are in a fight. Now you can tell if you're experiencing this power and the presence of the kingdom of heaven. In Romans chapter 14, if you want to turn there, Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, of peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. And the way I read that is it's not just about the physical things of this earth. That's not what the kingdom of heaven is about. But it is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And if you're not experiencing righteousness and joy, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, if you're not experiencing that, then you need to keep creeping forward and forward and keep going into the presence of the Almighty until you get there. Because that's the kingdom of God. That was the kingdom that came that day. And as Jesus is saying, go and preach that the kingdom of heaven is near. He is right there. He's here today. And that's part of that battle that we come out of the world and we go into that kingdom. And it's a spiritual kingdom, not just a physical. Now, as we look at the charge that Jesus has given to these disciples as he's sending them out, I think we actually have to go back in Matthew chapter 10, and in fact, at the close of chapter 9, to get a real flavor and a grip onto what Jesus was actually telling them to do. So if you look back in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." And in chapter 10, verse 1, "And he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness." And it's in the backdrop of those two verses. It's in the backdrop of the verse that says that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to go out and send the workers into his harvest field. And he gave them authority to drive out the evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. It's in the backdrop of that he sends out the 12. It's the backdrop of that he says, go tell them that the kingdom of heaven is near. But wait. When are we to do that? Well, let's look at the words of Jesus here, and you'll sense a sense of urgency that I see in here. The harvest is ready when? Now! Not, hey, in 6 months from now. Jesus said, the harvest is ready now. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out workers. When? Now! He was calling them to himself right then and sending them out. Jesus equipped the disciples with the power and authority when? Right then. Remember it said right there. It said in verse 1. He called the 12 disciples and he gave them authority. Right then he gave it. Go now and preach the message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do you see the urgency of Jesus? As he's given them this authority and as they're going to go out and they're going to be laying hands on the sick and they're going to be taking the message that even the brokenhearted can be bound up and to be healed. As he's given them that, he says, now is the time. Right now. And as we read this, I think the time is right now. When are we to be going out? Right now. When does his power come? Right now. There's an urgency. And that urgency doesn't have to do with us. It has to do with the world that needs to be touched and changed by that power. But wait, Jesus, I'm not ready. I got to go back home and take care of some matters first. The dog has to be fed and the roast's in the oven and I got to wait and mow the yard in the spring, and I got some flowers I want to plant and some other things I want to get done around the house. And no, go now. Well, I don't feel ready. I don't feel prepared. You think that that might have entered the disciples' minds? Jesus is looking at them. I don't know how long he'd been with them at that point, but only a short time, a year to 2 years. And Jesus looks at him and says, now you're going to go. I don't feel quite prepared for that, Jesus. I need to be in school another year. I need to take a few more classes. Can you imagine the disciples feeling a little bit uncertain in there? I bet they did. They're just like us. Jesus said, never mind that. Go now. Well, I'm not sure I have the power, or even if I really know that that power is real. Jesus, we've seen you do it, but we've never done it. Now, you're going to send us out to do it? Give us some practice sessions first. Well, here's an easy one for us. I got you, Jesus. That's not my gift. My gift is this over here, Jesus, so you got the wrong person. Isn't it amazing? He sent all 12 of them out there, regardless of what their gifting was. You know, I think sometimes we've studied gifts to death in the church. And we've tried to put people in a little box over here and say, you can only do this because that's your gifting. Yeah, that's not what Jesus did. It's great to know what our gifting is so we can excel in that, but don't forget that God uses us in every area. You never know when he's going to put someone in front of you that needs to be healed. Well, I got the gift of exhortation, not healing. Big deal. He's given you power and authority. Well, Jesus, I just don't feel comfortable talking to strangers. Boy, that one hits us in the church sometimes, right? Well, I don't mind talking to church about this stuff, but man, I really hate to go out and talk to people in the world I don't know. Wait a minute. When Jesus sent the 12 out, did he send them to the church or to the world? It really doesn't matter where we're comfortable with, is it? It really doesn't matter if our nature really isn't to be outspoken and to go out there. That really doesn't matter because Jesus says, go. Who? You. Go. Win. Now. I was expecting somebody to get up and start walking out. But there's an urgency in the voice of Jesus because Jesus wasn't calling them to go out later. He was calling them to go out right then. And making the declaration that we will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed and that we can bind up the brokenhearted is of absolutely no use except that we accept the declaration from the Lord that we need to go now with the message that is backed up with the power to do great and mighty things for God. He did give them authority. He did give them authority to put hands on the sick and to heal them. Now, in Exodus chapter 15, God declares himself as a healing God. He says, I will not cause all the afflictions that were on the Egyptians to be upon you because I'm a God that heals you. Jesus demonstrated over and over again the power that he had as he touched people and as he healed them and made them whole. The disciples witnessed that. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5 remind us that he bore our infirmities. He did. One of the problems that we face is that we are often unsure of the limits or of the unlimited power and love of God when it comes to healing. And we really don't understand it all that well sometimes. Why are some people healed and some not? How come I prayed for that person and their arm was broken and still broke after I prayed for them? I mean, have you ever felt kind of silly sometimes? You know, someone's sick and you're going to go over and you're going to pray for them and are they going to be healed right then? What happens if I pray for them and they're not healed? Does that mean I'm a fake? I mean, there are all kinds of these questions come into our minds, let me tell you. Sometimes we look at skepticism, at people who move in that kind of a power and they hold services and people come in and they lay hands on them and sometimes they fall over or sometimes they're healed and we say, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's real. I certainly wouldn't do things that way. Well, you might not, but God will. Sometimes we're skeptical of even God moving. Now, some of that comes in because we've seen, heard about, read about cases where people were fakes. They lied, they cheated. They had fake people, fake sick people get well. We've heard of those, right? I mean, that's happened. But just because there's some of that going on does not alleviate our responsibility to go, and it does not take away the true power of God that says, I do heal, God says. I'm a God that healeth thee. It doesn't matter how many people do things differently, how many people do things for their own glory, how many fakes are out there, that doesn't change the fact that God still is who he is. Now, the other thing we have to understand is that not everybody is healed right when we want them to be healed. That's God's business. Nowhere did it say that I'm the healer. Who's the healer? However he determines to heal is up to him. Not everybody. Now, I know this is a real touchy one, but not everybody in the scripture was healed. Did you know some people died? Wait a minute. all but a couple died as we look at the ministry of the disciples. And rather than have you turn there in Matthew 9, chapter 6, in the account of Luke in this story, when the 12 go out, it says that they came back and they reported that they healed people everywhere and they drove out demons and that. But it didn't say that every individual, it doesn't say specifically every individual was healed. Mark chapter 6, similar story, states that the 12 returned and reported that they anointed many with oil and healed them. It doesn't say how many they anointed with oil that didn't get healed. I wonder why. Because they were emphasizing the power of God, not what their misunderstandings or not what they didn't see. They reported what they did see. There can be various reasons why we don't see an immediate healing take place. Just like Jesus, we're given power and authority, but all that comes from the throne. There's times when unconfessed sin can hinder the results of healing. There's sometimes when there's sin in a life, and until that sin is confessed and repented of, God isn't going to necessarily heal that person. Oh, he could, he can, he does, but sometimes that's a hindrance. James chapter 5, verse 16, it says to call upon the elders to be and have them anoint you with oil. Sometimes there's that need that we need to do is if we want a healing, that we need to confess our sins and we need to go before the leadership and say, I'm confessing this and I need the touch of God and I repent, and that needs to take place. Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 16 tells that sometimes that infirmities can be caused by demonic oppression. Did you know that demons can cause that? There are, in case you didn't know, there really are demons. I remember I was working for the state in Indiana. And we had someone from Purdue University, one of the professors, come over and was doing a study and was getting access to some of our records so that they could do this study. And I got talking with this professor from Purdue, and being a Christian, I, you know, just asked her, you know, if she believed and those kind of things. And we started talking, and she said she had no problem. I mean, she wasn't a real believer, but she had no problem believing that there were angels. You know, she said, I believe that there's angels. And I'm, oh, okay. Do you believe that there's demons? And she said, oh, no. Get real. Believe in angels, but not of demons. And sometimes I think the church has forgot that we deal in spiritual warfare against demonic forces. You know, that person driving slow in front of you is not your enemy. You know, they are not the enemy. That checker at the grocery stand that's real slow and wants to tell everybody your personal story while you're trying to get through the line in a hurry, that is not your enemy. Sometimes we think it is. I confess that one. Sometimes we look at our neighbor because they said something or don't agree with what we do. We see them as our enemy, and it's not. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. It is not flesh and blood. It's the demonic forces that have existed in this world ever since Satan was booted out of heaven. Sometimes that healing is because of a lack of faith or weak faith. You know, God says that our faith can grow. We can have our faith increase. We do that by trusting in Him. We do that by doing things like saturating ourselves in the Word, spending more time in worship, walking out what He's already given us. Sometimes we're asking God for more faith and we've never used the faith that He's already given. You know, we want to sit back until everything is given to us before we do something, right? Because we want to make sure we're really geared up. Look at the disciples. Look at where they were at. Now, let's just say that this was 2 years into His ministry. If Jesus called everyone in His room that was more than 2 years old in Christ to go out just like the disciples did, we would have a mighty force. We would. You know, sometimes people aren't healed because that wasn't God's will that they be healed in that timing. And we have to accept that. We have to accept that. Paul, whatever that thorn in the flesh was, and there's all kinds of things that are speculated what it could be, but he pleaded with God. The scripture says three times, but I have an inkling. If Paul was anything like me, it was more than three times. I mean, how many of us? God, take this away. Take this away. Take this away. Take this away. And it can be go on for a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. Take this away. And sometimes God's word to us is, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. You know, if he chooses to heal at a split second, that's great. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise and glory and honor. If he chooses to wait, let's still give him praise and glory and honor because it's still him. There are a few things that we can do regarding either being healed or being an agent of God's power for someone to be healed. We can, first of all, believe that God does heal. That's called faith, right? Have faith that he does heal. He does. Regardless of how many times he hasn't healed, you haven't seen an immediate healing, regardless, that doesn't mean that God heals. We can foster a righteous relationship with the Lord so that when God does put someone in our path, that we will be fully equipped. We can saturate our minds and our hearts with the Word of God. We can call upon the elders of the church to pray with us. We can rejoice. And if healing does not come when asked for, we can either examine our own life or we can examine another person's life. It could be a time of self-examination. And God, if there's something that I have done or something that I haven't done, would you please disclose that to me? Give God an opportunity to work. Realize that God does things differently sometimes. And sometimes he does things in ways that are not our ways. You know, God, if I were you, I'd be doing it this way. He gets that all the time. I can tell you whether there's an instantaneous healing or there's not. I can tell you one thing for absolute certainty, that this life that we live on earth is short compared to life in eternity. And I know that someday I get to trade in this old body. How many know that as you get older, the body starts deteriorating a little bit, doesn't work quite as well as it used to when you were young? And I understand that myself. I get to trade it in someday and get a brand new glorious one. Hallelujah. Every one of us do. Every one of us do. That's a promise from God. And that one's going to be forever. See, he didn't make these to last forever. Well, it also says that they will bind up the brokenhearted, right? A couple verses I want to read for you. One out of Psalms 34, verse 18. Psalms 34, 18, where it says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Listen to the words of the Lord there. Psalms 147, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. I made comment to Isaiah earlier, but Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. And of course, that's the text that Jesus is reading in Luke when he goes to the synagogue one day and he picks up a scroll and he opens the scroll in Isaiah there and he reads out. And he says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. Out of Isaiah 61. Jesus claims that this is his calling and reason for being sent by the Father. And then just after that it says, today, this scripture is fulfilled. The 12 were being given authority to carry out this ministry as they were being sent out. A little bit after that, Jesus gathers 72 and he gives them the same charge to go out. And then in Acts, we see where that number multiplied and there were 3,000 one day and they were charged to go out. And then the church kept spreading and they were charged to continue going out. And we are here today and God has continued even today to say our job is to go out with that message. That is our calling. It's no different than the one that the 12 got, or the 72, or the church in Acts, or the church that has gone down through the ages to write to today. It's a charge for every one of us. Tell me, have you ever been somewhere in a public place and there's been someone that maybe was sick or needed healed, and you looked and said, oh gosh, I wish God would heal them. Oh God, heal them. And we say it quietly, but do we have the guts to go up to them and say, hey, can I pray for you? Maybe the lady in the line at Walmart, you know. There's two Hebrew words that are used for brokenhearted. And there's also two words in Greek that are used. And I want to look at those real quickly. The word that is used in Hebrew, the first word is shabar. Shabar. S-H-A-B-A-R in the English, shabar. Primitive word, root meaning to burst, break down, break off, break into pieces, crush, destroy. Get a feeling for that word. And the second word is leb, L-E-B, means the heart. So literally, the brokenhearted means a heart that is broken down, a heart that is burst, a heart that is breaking into pieces, a heart that is crushed, a heart that is destroyed. That's the meaning. The heart includes the feelings, the will, and the intellect. In Greek, the words that are used there, the first one is centribo. And centribo translates means crush completely, shatter, to break into pieces. It's like glass that is just shattered. Cardia, of course, where we get cardiac from. Cardia, the heart, also includes thoughts and feelings, just like leb in the Hebrew. God binds up the crushed, the broken, the shattered, the bruised, and the destroyed. Hallelujah. The word to bind up comes from the Hebrew word kabash, which means to tie, to bind about. The idea is to sew. It's like something that has been ripped apart and it is sewed together. It's as if when there's a broken heart, God reaches down with the needle and the thread from heaven, and he starts and he just sews that together till that piece is brought back together. And sometimes we go through life and we go through things and our heart gets broken. Our heart gets bruised. Our heart gets damaged. It could be in relationships. It could be because of things that happen. It could be because of circumstances in our heart. I mean, how many of you have ever experienced a broken heart of any kind? You ever have that first person that you ever had a crush on in your life and they walked away from you? Remember the hurt that was there? You didn't think life would go on. And sometimes as you get older and older, those hurts, sometimes they're even deeper and deeper. And you know what? You can actually see in some people, if you just look at them, you can see that there's brokenness in their life. And there's people that are just crying out, not physically, but their whole demeanor just cries out, I'm broken in spirit. And God says, I sent you to them because I've given you power and authority to allow that process of their heart to be sewn up, to be bound up so that they could be whole. Psalms 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise, because that's the reason that he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to a people that had a broken heart. It's as if God reaches down from heaven with a Band-Aid. And he just puts it on that broken heart. Remember as a kid, you got a little owie? I can remember, I won't give you which one of my kids did this, but riding a bicycle down a hill with gravel, and the bike doesn't stay in a straight line, and the bike goes over, and there's that big owie on the knee, and a mom and a dad, they go up and they hug and they kiss and they wash and they put a Band-Aid on it. And even sometimes there's not even any sign of an injury, but you put a Band-Aid on it anyway and to make it all better. That's our Heavenly Father. He knows when your heart's broken and he's just waiting. It's like he's got a paramedic force just ready to roll to bind up the brokenhearted. A broken heart can cripple. Do you know that? And he has sent us. He has sent us to help, to bind up the brokenhearted. I want to close today reading just a little bit out of Luke chapter 4. In the story where Jesus sends out Luke chapter 4. Or no, when Jesus was reading the scroll. I'm sorry, when he was reading the scroll of Isaiah. Verse 21. I mentioned this earlier, but I want to close in this part. Verse 20 says, and he rolled up the scroll. This is after he read the part of Isaiah. Verse 20 says, he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant and he sat down. Look at this verse, and it says, the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He got up and he read from Isaiah these scriptures, these prophetic verses. And as he finished reading it, he rolled it up, he gave the scroll to the attendants, and he sat down. And it says the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Just as Jesus stated at that moment, as every eye was focused on him, that today this has been fulfilled. He's saying to us right now, right here, right today, right now, this very moment, in the hearing of those words, Jesus is saying, it is fulfilled. It is fulfilled. It is fulfilled. Later, he sends the 12 out with that same message. But I believe sometimes we need to be healed before we can go out and heal others. Anyone agree with me with that? And I believe that there's probably people here today that have broken hearts. There's people here that are sick, and they need to be touched. And we need to lay hands on. Do you believe that? I believe there's people that have hurts inside of them that need to have that Band-Aid put on. And I want to give us time to do that this morning. I know we've gone a little over today, but I want to take time this morning. I'm going to ask if the elders would come forward, and Peter, if you'd come up and play. And I just want to open up a time right up here this morning. Now, we're calling every one of you. I believe that that's the charge from Jesus for every one of you to go out with this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. We can lay hands on the sick, and they will be healed, and we can bind up the brokenhearted. But let's start right here today. Let's practice right here today. This is our practice session. Let's pray. And what I want the elders to come forward, and also I want everyone to stand so no one feels out of place and everyone's looking at them. And if that's you today, that you want healing, you want a touch, or your heart's broken about something, maybe it's something like way in the past, maybe it's something that happened this week, I don't know. Let's go out of here today. Let's go out of here today, a church that has been bound up in the healing power of Jesus. And let's be a church that's being sent out. Maybe you just need a prayer over you because you know that God's using you somewhere. And you want to make sure that the power of God is in your life. We want to pray for you. We want to do that right here, right now. The altars are open if you want to come forward. Amen.